Okay.
Did everybody just hear that message? Conference recording started?
Yes.
Okay, I just didn't know if the audience got to hear that or just here in the office with a host. We'll get started in just a few minutes here. People are getting their cinnamon buns out of the oven and they forgot about us here at the office, just eating whatever's on the floor.
I mean, speaking of that, you need to replace my broom.
Oh, yes, the broom. So, not that Donna flies around on one. I had to throw that in. But, no, we do need a broom here in the office.
I've got to wait
till
10 o'clock for Chris.
Yeah.
He's busy. Kelly's busy. He has to do his job.
Got money to save.
Yeah. Took my debt off.
Good morning.
Good morning, Paula.
I got the dumpster there.
Just give it another minute, Paula, and see if anybody else joins. We have Kathy, Dan Gaudette here at the office. We have someone else joined.
Hi, Ralph. How are you?
Oh, we have Ralph.
Hi.
Oh, someone else.
Hi, Dinah.
Dinah.
Hello.
Morning.
All right.
Okay, so what we have right now on the call, I'll call the meeting to order at 9 o'clock according. Right on time. Okay. And we have here in the office myself, Donna McKinnon, Kelly Robitel. We have online Commissioner Paula Doyle, Commissioner Kathy Kozel. We have Dan Gaudette, Ralph Lutchen, Treasurer Dinah Reese.
That's it.
And that's it. Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the agenda for Thursday, July 13th. Do I have a second?
Well, today's the 16th.
I'm sorry. 16th. What did I say?
16th.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion.
Okay, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Okay. We normally start off with Chris Albert. Chris is at another meeting right now and will be joining us at 10 a.m. So I'm going to jump right to Kelly Robitel, DPW foreman. And Kelly, you get the microphone.
All right. I was going to hopefully be in a hurry today, but I have to be here for 10 o'clock. Just a couple updates. We had some massive rain. Everyone knows that. The roads held up very well. We have a few areas that we're going to take care of, but no major washouts, nothing like that. We do a culvert replacement at the end of Swise Road, Swayze.
Yep.
Much needed. It had a hole in it. It was way past its prime. We're going to reset it. We already installed the pipe. It's lower. It's better. I'm working up there again today, putting the proper headers and finishing that project. That's going to be, we won't get it done today. I'll have to move it to Monday because tomorrow. So we're all cleaned up and ready to go. Tomorrow I'm meeting with paving company to get an estimate on the paving of Kristen Stock in Aspen after the Rhinac project, as we talked about. I want to have that number to give Chris so that he can hopefully keep that money and the tank project money to finalize this project, as I've spoken about. It's still a priority for me to get that completely buttoned up. So I'll walk with them tomorrow, and I'll have an estimate for you people next week. Other than that, I have nothing.
All right. I'm just going to try to explain for folks on the phone. So Kelly's going to try to get just an estimate in. Which is a paving company you're going to be talking
with? I'll talk with Brian tomorrow.
Okay. For putting back together the Briston Stock and Aspen roads, which are good sections of those are actually paved. That was never really included in the contract. So hopefully there'll be at least some money, if not enough money, in the contingency of this project to help cover those costs. Otherwise, we may have to branch out onto a warrant article for next year to complete the paving of those roads.
If there's not enough money left, there's something wrong. Because the money that we're going to save by doing the grading and the gravel work and a few other things to help this project, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Right. Yeah, and it's a good thing that we do have that contingency, and we only have right now one change order that's been requested, so we may be in good shape. I did take a look at that Swayze culvert that you installed yesterday, and quite impressed. You guys are becoming like the culvert expert.
We've always been the culvert experts. Yeah.
If I could, without the virus, I'd pat you on the back, but have a virtual pat.
Peter Pan, just doing his job.
But no, that was a 24-inch. And
we downsized because the 24 it couldn't get deep enough on the ground.
Oh.
So after 6.5 years of watching the water flow there, we never got the extent of water that the 24 was necessary.
Right.
We couldn't, that was constantly exposed. There was no way of raising the road.
Right.
And there was no way of going deeper because of ledge.
Yep.
And the water main was right there, so to get the proper coverage, we went to an 18,
okay,
which is an average standard road crossing culvert.
Yeah.
Got it much deeper.
Okay. I also wanted to touch base. So you did a first application at Rockhouse Mountain with the calcium chloride?
We did.
Yep. And I guess it looks good.
It does. And I'll just wait to hear if they want a second.
Mm-hmm.
It was filled.
Yep.
And we're ready to go with more.
Yep. So that's good news. The other thing I wanted to bring up was, may not really involve you, but may, the camper that's in the parking lot at Hotwell by the mailboxes. Today or this week is the fourth week.
Last week was.
The
ninth it was.
I thought it was this week. I'm sorry. So my question is, what do we want to do with that camper? I guess we can actually notify. Go ahead, Kathy.
We talked about this, I think, last week. I made up a note to post on the camper, basically saying, you know, you have exceeded the allowed 30-day parking as of July 9th. If we do not hear from you by July 27th, the district may exercise its rights to impose a fine and have the trailer towed at the expense of the owner. The parking ordinance, the complete parking ordinance is on a website, and the website name, and please contact the district office at 367-9022 to discuss your plan. But we said we'd give them like 10 days after we posted a notice to contact the office and let us know what their plans are.
All right, and I think I saw, but I think I only saw the person also who owns that car.
He has moved.
So they were moving it. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that person had her name and address and said, my car was towed. I'm working on it. Please do not tow. So she did leave some information in her windshield.
Yeah, okay. So on the camper, because that's probably could be in your way if you wanted to grade the parking lot, but
it looks horrible.
Well, I know.
Everyone's telling me what
they're
doing.
Yeah, I've got a number of calls on it.
I'm sure you have.
We can't grade it. We can't.
Yeah.
Why do they get to do that?
I don't. What the ordinance is.
It's 30 days.
Yeah, I know.
You can give some slack on something, but it should be impounded and taken away.
Yeah, so I think it will probably, if you have that letter, and has that letter gone on the camper yet?
No, I'm sending it to the office right now, and so we can print it on like that bright pink paper and post it to the camper. But even if they're driving by, they should notice that there's a sign there.
Okay.
So we can get that posted today.
All right. So the 27th. So that'll be just looking quick at the calendar. Next week? No.
2 weeks.
Well, I can change the date.
Yeah. Because they've already hit their 30. Why don't you make it where we, I can't really see where we're at right now.
We're at the 16th. So the 23rd is next Thursday.
Yeah, so you want to put the 23rd?
Sure. Yep, do it right now.
All right. And then we'll print that up here, and I'll go stick it on the camper itself. In the meantime, I'll reach out to Madison Police about the process of removing that. They did mention to me that they're familiar with removing unregistered vehicles from public places. So.
Okay. And I mentioned to Donna too that we need to make sure at our next public hearing we need to update the ordinance because it never included the fact that the vehicles must be registered.
Correct.
I think we should add that in.
Yeah.
What time are you recording at 12?
Paula, did you say something?
All right.
No, there's a lot of background noise coming though from somebody's phone. So if
who just sent it with 6111?
Who just joined the call?
Oh, hi. This is Sharon Rochas and John Rochas. How are you?
Well, hi, Sharon and John. Good, thank you. All right.
Jay.
Okay. So I'll reach out to the police to see what the process for having that towed. I mean, it is a pretty big unit, so. It's not going to be an easy tow. Okay, going back to Kelly. And you think you've got everything, Kelly, here that I have on the agenda?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, down the bottom, as usual, you think it's down there.
Yeah.
Let's see.
When we do that until the end of the meeting. Yeah.
No? Yeah. I think it's been the sinkhole that's not mine that was taken care of.
Yep. You want to talk about the picnic tables? Since we have John Rochez on the line from the EPOA.
We've never had anything to do with the summit. I don't know if we're supposed to or not. That's usually an EPOA case. I heard a rumor someone wanted to graciously buy a new picnic table for that spot.
Oh.
That would be great. If they need us to transport, we'll be happy to do that and place it. But as far as anything else with the EPOA stuff, we've just never done anything with it.
Okay. John and Sharon, I don't know if you're aware, but there's some damage that's been done to a picnic table at the Summit Overlook at the top of Oak Ridge.
Yeah, it's actually up there. Yeah.
And I know that the EPOA has, in the past, either donated or maintained those areas. Was that why you were calling in today, or?
Yeah, yes.
In part, yeah.
Partly, but
okay.
We were thinking about maybe putting it to the board and maybe replacing the picnic table.
Okay. Would that be one that you would replace?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we had a resident volunteered to actually repair that and had given us a list of the materials and the stain that would be used for that. But probably because of its age, a total replacement might be more suitable and easier. You just buy it and drop it. Now,
yeah,
Kelly,
I was thinking the same thing. It's probably just the one, yeah.
All right. So would the EPOA be committing to replacing that? As a donation?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That'd be great. So we can respond back to this resident that volunteered to do the work, which I appreciate as well. But also appreciate, I think a new one is simpler and probably longer lasting. Okay.
You just have to, someone would have to hopefully volunteer to paint it because it's going to come, I'm sure, unpainted.
And if anybody is looking for paint, there was another resident in the village that recently stained their house cedar color, and they left about 3 gallons in a 5-gallon pail out at the end of their driveway with a sign that said free. So I picked that up because I didn't want that to find its way to the pond. So, if anybody wants that stain, I have 3 gallons of cedar colored stain. Okay.
Okay.
For the table.
Yeah, maybe you could use it for the table even.
No, absolutely. Perfect. Well, I appreciate that, John. Thank you.
okay.
They want us to get the table?
Yeah. Now, do you want the village district to purchase the table and deliver and install it and then be reimbursed by the EPOA, or do you want to pick it up yourself?
Yeah, we could do that. I'll get Dinah to
get the amount, and then Dinah will give a check.
Okay, so the district will pick one up, deliver.
It's like $100 at most.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
If they have them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if they have them.
Okay.
I know they run out.
All right, perfect. Thank you, John. John, while we got you on the line, was there something else you wanted to bring up this morning?
Oh, there was one other thing. Just, do you think somebody could turn the water on down by the
entrance?
Oh, that hasn't been turned on yet?
No. I went to the spigot. It wasn't on yet.
A couple days ago.
Okay.
A couple days.
All right. We'll put that. We'll send an email out to Ian on that.
Okay. Anything else?
I don't think so.
Now that
we're on, I can't recall. I was expecting to hear what you guys were saying and then have questions at the end.
Oh, no, because the subject matter may actually invite, and sometimes people just drop off without telling us they're going to drop. So at least while I have you live, I figured I'd tap in. I also wanted to say thank you very much for repairs that you did at the playground.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay.
I noticed one thing. I actually found another bag of trash on Blinden yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, this time it was full of baby diapers.
Oh.
At least they put them in the bag this time and not just on the road.
Yeah, we found diapers on the road.
Oh, yeah. But the bears found them or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I'm going to take it to the dump tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
So there was one other thing I just thought of. We were wondering about, I don't know, maybe Dinah's already presented it because we kind of joined a little bit late, I think, but about possible outdoor activities as far as like a cookout possibility in August. Do you think, what are we looking at as far as opportunities or what would have to be done in regards to doing, you know, some form of social distancing outdoor activity?
Right. So I guess I'll give you the what I know. There are going to be obviously the state guidelines for serving food, even in an outdoor setting, such as a barbecue.
Yeah.
So Madison Old Home Week has been radically reduced. The beanhole supper, I believe, is off the table. It's no longer going to happen. But I believe that, if I recall right, the chicken barbecue that's usually done by the fire department will be done, but we are expecting to do a, what do they call it, drive-by or drive and take only?
Yeah.
So you're going to place your orders, and we'll have your chicken dinner ready for you in a styrofoam container, and you'll drive away with it. And I'm trying to think. Yeah, there was, a blueberry pick that was still on and some other things that are, they're all outdoors and they're all very much spaced apart. They're not crowded. The parade is canceled. The bean hole's canceled, as well as many other activities for that old home week because it's just too many people and in a small area. Of course, there won't be any fireworks this year as well. So I just wanted you to consider that if you can comply with the state guidelines for serving food to the public outside, and you yourselves, the cooks, also need to be socially distanced and supposedly trained in the guidelines. So if you believe you can comply with that, and, you know, as always, the EPOA has always provided that insurance binder for serving to the public, then I think everything would be good if you want to do that. It's a lot of work, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'll check into it and see if we would be able to pull something off.
Yeah. If we could do something like that, we're thinking also just doing a setting up a canopy along the route, just passing out in the same idea, but keeping socially distanced and all that. But like lemonade or something, as kids, people that wanted something to, you know,
something simple. Like
pick up as they walk
pick
past.
Up, yeah, pick
like
up.
Like the fall foliage thing we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't
okay.
know.
Okay.
Yeah.
But,
all right.
Easier.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Get back to us if you have a plan, and we'll certainly entertain it. But I'm just giving you some insight as to what some other groups in town are doing.
Sure.
Yeah. No. That's really great. We really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
All right.
All right. I'm going to swing back to Kelly. Have you thought of anything else that
no.
you... Really, Kelly? I mean,
no.
you've been busy.
So one day I can get out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Jay,
yeah.
can
yeah.
I interrupt? How are they working on getting the garage doors updated?
Yeah, so...
I was told they would be here today and tomorrow. Still waiting for them to show up today, but
yeah.
we're next okay. on their list. If they don't show today, I'm sure they'll get tomorrow.
Okay. All right. I just saw something go through that the parts were all in, so it'll be nice to get
yeah.
that done.
Yeah. Okay. And so I guess if, Kelly, that's all you got, we'll move on to, we'll skip Chris's report because he's coming in at 10. I'm going to jump right to administrative. Donna.
I got a lot accomplished today. I worked with Catherine. We got a lot cleaned up in QuickBooks. So that was very helpful. We did receive a packet from the town with all the district property owned assessment values here for just what the village owns. And other than that, I'm just plugging along.
So I'm just going to add real quick that we've received emails about possibly having next year police detail during the 4th of July. So I'm privy to some information that a police detail was actually held last weekend here in Idlewise. It was for 3 hours by the Madison Police Department. It was paid for out of their overtime. And what they wanted to see were the results of having police here during the evening hours, and that was on a Saturday, I believe, to see what type of action, I guess, they would get. And to be honest, I didn't get a written report yet, but I got a verbal report that said it was relatively quiet compared to the previous holiday weekend, obviously. And now the question is was it quiet because there was physical or visual police presence in the district, or was it just a different clientele?
You're all still hungover.
Yeah. Was it a different clientele that was in on the second weekend of July? So that becomes the question. But they did do a detail, and there was nothing major to report. So we got that, the camper. Oh, I wanted to just real brief. Since all the heavy rain that we had, I noticed that the water level's up around 6 inches below the top of the concrete. So we're back to where we need to be, pretty much. So I just say go ahead and keep the boards in. And if it gets any higher, that's fine. But if it gets any lower, that's an act of God, and nothing we can do about that. Okay. Just looking real quick here. So you're all set, Donna?
Yep.
So I want to talk about administrative a little bit. So we still have not had any response to even the second ad for part-time administrative assistance. And I remember that, Paula, you had mentioned maybe reaching out through monster.com and was wondering if you had any success or if you had any...
She was going to work with me.
Yes.
She wasn't doing it.
I got the information. So I think Monsters is not cost efficient. It's, you can do a 7-day trial, but then it's $249 a month. So I don't think we're going to want to spend
wow.
that. But Indeed, on Indeed, you can actually do free job posting. Now, when you post a free job posting, it doesn't get like elevated at all in terms of the results. People have used it. You'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So we can just post for free and see how that goes and see if we get any responses. And then we could try that for a week. And then what you can do is you can pay per click. So every time somebody, you can pay to have it sponsored, which moves your results up to the top of the page when somebody's searching. And what you do then is if somebody clicks, you pay for every click that your ad gets. And you can set a budget. You can say, I want to set a $10 budget or a $5 budget for the week, and we're going to pay 10 cents a click or whatever the going rate is at that point. And then it would stop. So say you got 100 clicks and you used up your budget, you'd stop having that result. But we could post it today for free for a week and see if we get results that way.
Yeah, and I think, Paul, you had mentioned that the New Hampshire Works or New Hampshire Unemployment Office is also maybe a good place to post that.
I didn't mention that, but it sounds like a good idea.
Oh, okay. I thought that's what you were referring to. If you want, I'll be going in town today, and maybe I'll swing. Actually, I have to call for an appointment. Maybe I'll just call them and ask how to do that.
Okay.
Put a posting with them, because we need to get Donna some help. She's just been really just putting in the hours and just a huge amount of effort.
Okay, so Donna, if you want to send me the listing, I'll do the Indeed thing for I can post it. It won't take very long. Just send me the send me the posting and I'll post it for you. I just don't have the
coverage.
All right.
That's my alarm clock. Not really, but hang on just a sec. Sorry about that. I wanted to go in and talk about the portal, if that's okay. I guess that would come under administrative because eventually the portal is going to be owned by the office. Or at least it's – I know Donna's been getting all the calls regarding the portal. So I know right now we are full. Is that correct on the canoe and kayak?
Yes, we're full.
Okay. And I don't know – I know, Kathy, you're familiar with the portal – Paul, or I'm not sure how familiar you are, but the portal has other tabs, or call them pages, that are linked to the portal. One of them is beach raking, signing up for beach raking right now. And there's another one which allows members of the portal to converse with each other. I think I got an email from Andrew on a company or a device that would help clean the office floor here, like a buffing machine. And I'm just wondering how – I'm not sure if commissioners ever approved of what the context of the portal would be, but it continually seems to be expanding. And I'm worried that – with the expansion of the portal, it only puts a greater responsibility on the office as having to handle either calls, questions, or concerns with not being able to get onto the portal, or maybe the beach raking might have issues like the canoe racks did. And I just want to define, maybe not at this meeting, but I want to help define what it is that we're going to allow the portal to do. And I don't know if either one of you have thought about it much.
I mean, I think certainly the initial
apparently Donna is having
was to can you hear me, Jay?
Go ahead.
Someone has to look at it.
I'm off speakerphone, so
that's one thing. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, we're hearing a lot of conversation in the background.
Yeah.
So
okay,
certainly the original purpose was to facilitate the office with the kayak rack assignments, which I think it did a good job doing that. Of course, with any new project, there was a couple of glitches and unforeseen circumstances, but I believe all of those have been ironed out, and next year it will be a piece of cake. I think Andrew might have a more expanded view of what the portal could do for the district. And I agree, it should be run through us before he starts adding some of those features to the portal. But basically what he's done is just taken the property tax information and linked it to the portal so that people have access to all that information. When you create your user account, you indicate whether you want people to contact you through the portal. So if you checked that option, then that's how he was able to contact you through the portal.
Okay.
So that's, yeah, that was kind of basically what the purpose of it was to allow people to self-register and self-select kayak spaces.
Right. And just someone who myself, I know that I'm selling one of my two properties here in Idlewise, and so the owner of that property will change, which
yep.
unfortunately is not an automated piece, and that's something that Donna will have to physically go in and update next year, or actually this year if my property does change hands, in order for that person to next year get themselves a kayak space.
No. Well, the way it works is that as soon as we get a new listing from Madison, which has always been the issue, that information comes to us like 6 months late at times with new owners, that new list will update automatically to the portal. Not automatically. Donna will upload the new list to the portal, and then when that new person goes to register a space, if they're now the owner of that lot, it's automatic. So she doesn't have
okay.
to do anything as long as the list from Madison is updated. So whenever there's
right.
property ownership changes, that's what it's all going to be queued on, is that list from Madison.
Right.
I'm just going to jump in here for a moment.
Sure.
This past week we've gotten how many phone calls because people have put in their boats
yeah.
on the wrong racks.
We've confiscated three in the last 4 days.
Yeah. I don't think the portal with the assignments is working as it's supposed to. The other day, Kelly went to cut a boat off, and there was a heavy lock that was on four different spots, two at Geneva Beach for four boats. So I don't see, the office is getting very bogged down with the kayak and canoe racks. I don't know how Nancy did it prior, and I know when we first came up here 8 years ago, it was first come, first serve, and there never seemed to be as much communication that there was issues. So I think it's something that we're not responsible for anyway. It's people's choice to put their racks. We're not responsible for the racks. I think the first come, first serve for myself would take a lot of time off the office. It's just everybody is complaining about the racks because they weren't open on time. I don't know, but that's something the board has to decide.
Okay. Yeah, so...
I know what Donna's saying, and I think the reason we took on, that the district took on assigning spaces to the racks was, and again, Kelly and Jay may know more about that because I've never been involved with the kayak racks, but people would put their boats on a rack, go out for a paddle, and come back and somebody else had their boat on there, and they would call the office. So it was kind of designed originally 3 years ago in order to eliminate all the calls that Nancy was getting because of the kayak racks.
Yeah.
Do we just throw our hands up and say it's not our responsibility and just forget the whole idea of kayak rack registration?
Well,
yeah. I think Kath, go ahead. Who's this?
Hi, this is Sharon.
Hi, Sharon. Go ahead.
I just wanted to respond to that because I clearly recall why they ended up trying to think of a way to manage the kayak racks, and it had to do with a lot of residents would come here to bring their racks down, and there would be no spaces left, and it was discovered that there were a lot of people who were not residents within Idlewise, putting their kayaks and canoes on the racks. And then you had other residents who were taking as many racks as they had kayaks and canoes for. So they were trying to think of a way to make it so everyone would have opportunity to have at least one spot. and ensure that it was the residents who were utilizing the racks, not people from outside of the community.
Right.
Yeah. Because I know, for example, if you go down to the beach during the morning and park your car, drop off your family, take out the cooler, the blanket, and then you realize that you forgot the soda, and then you get back in your car to go back to your house to get that, that someone could actually pull into your parking spot that you just evacuated. But there's nothing that we could do about that. I mean, that's just the way it happens. And the same would be for first come, first serve on the racks. But to Sharon's point about having residents only, we could actually develop a very simple sticker system where a sticker could be generated that would be placed on a person's kayak or canoe. As long as they verified that they were a resident, they would get one sticker for one kayak, not 10 stickers, so they could put 10 kayaks down, but just one. And that would help facilitate knowing whether you have a resident kayak on the rack versus a non-resident. And we could remove the non-resident. And we could have signage down there that would state that. You must have a resident sticker on your kayak, just like having a resident sticker on your car to park at the beach parking lots in Silver Lake.
Right.
So we could do something simple like that, and it would take out the administrative piece of getting the phone calls and then helping the sign-ups and those new transactions of property and things of that sort.
Well, there's people that rent their properties that pay property taxes. They're entitled to a...
Oh, they are, yes. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I mean... so the rental people can use...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. I mean, that's not fair to the rental people.
No, that's true. Right. Right.
You know.
Hi, this is Dinah. I was at the office through the beginning, middle, and end of this, and before Andrew got involved, it was just a very simple process. They send in an application, the administrator puts their thing on the spreadsheet, and they have a canoe space. So
it was a lot more complicated than that.
No, it wasn't. Not when Nancy was doing it. There was a form on the website. They would fill it out. She would give them a space, and then she was done. You didn't have to worry about all that other stuff that now the system's hooked to, like the database and blah, 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 blah.
Well, no, but the same problems existed that, you know, somebody's in my space and I thought I had a middle rack, but now I've got a bottom rack, and can I swap with somebody? I mean, she got a lot of calls, and it was kind of at her request to get it somehow automated.
Yeah, Kathy, Diana complained about that constantly.
Yeah. Yes, it was a lot of Nancy may not have complained about it to everybody, but it was a lot of hours on her plate to manage it, and then all the follow up. I don't know if somebody at EPOA, since EPOA kind of initiated the racks, is there somebody there that would take the phone calls and manage the portal?
We gave them to you.
We don't want them. We're going to give them back. We're giving them back to you.
I don't have an hour. We're not coming to a resolution. So
right.
I'm just saying it's done for this year, but certainly something that we should consider. I mean,
exactly. And with Nancy having been able to achieve it manually, let's remember that Nancy was working twice as many hours as Donna has.
So that's true too.
That's big. Yeah. Okay. So we don't want to solve it here because we can't, but let's think about it. And I'll move on to the next subject matter. The outhouse cleaning. Gina was just by this morning. And is that going? That's going well.
Yep. Gina started last Saturday. And she seems to be doing fine.
Okay. All right, and if that's all we got for administrative, is that it?
All right, that's it.
Okay.
Jay, another quick question.
I don't know. We did get our tax check. That's nice.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Oh, yes.
We got our tax check yesterday.
Donna's already spent it.
I went down and picked it up from the town. They said normally it's paid 45 days after the tax payments are due, but since they had it available They cut the check for us, and Dinah took it to the bank yesterday.
Woohoo! Yeah.
And that was very nice of Madison. I remember it was like pulling teeth a while ago, so this is really good relations.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
we
just
also got the check for the truck. We got the check for the truck as well, didn't we, the truck loan?
Yes, on July 7th.
Okay.
Perfect. And I just wanted to dial back to the neighborhood energy program. We have the ability to lock into a rate that is expected to be lower than what it's expected to go to. And has anybody read any of that information from Tad Ziesman?
Nothing. I haven't read that.
There's a time frame on it.
Yeah, because we've already missed a week, I guess. And he's asking us, do we want to lock into this rate? Because the production of gasoline and other petroleum products has been lessened this year because of the lack of the economy. Here we go. So what he's saying is that the supply agreement, because the Henry Hub gas price, okay, that's the Henry Hub gas price, but electricity, well, is in conjunction with some of the other petroleum product pricing because that's what fuels the electrical power plants. So we could lock in now. He's saying that the council is not to cause alarm, but rather due diligence on your behalf because of the great sub 0.075 electric rate. And I'll make a motion that we go ahead and let me just make sure that this is a, no, it's not a contract, but he's going to send us one. I believe he'll send us a contract with the new annual rate, if that's agreeable to the other two commissioners.
I'll second the
Okay, Paula seconded. Any discussion?
No.
I'm reviewing it. Looks good. I think we should go
okay.
ahead.
Okay. All right. We'll ask Donna to ask for a vote. All in favor of locking in at the lower rate, say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. I'll ask Donna to reach out to Tad Ziesman to get that initiated for that new lower rate. Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
So Jay, just a quick comment on the outhouses. When Donna and I went around and did the initial cleanup, of which Donna did the worst of the worst job, pretty much at least one of the outhouses at each beach has broken or missing seats.
Yeah.
And so we need to kind of stay on top of that because if the other one fails, then now we have nothing.
Exactly.
I don't know if there's a way to fabricate a bracket onto those stainless steel bases to accommodate another toilet seat. So if somebody you know is an engineer, Jay, they may be able to figure out a solution.
I don't know anyone who's an engineer.
Larry Leonard's an engineer, and he's already been very familiar with them. Maybe he can come up with an idea to how to rebrace those brackets so we can attach the toilet seats.
Actually, we got some good welders in the room right now.
Well, we do, do we?
Yeah. Do-do is right. Right up his alley. But,
just a caution, because now there's only one per beach open. They're going to get twice the use, so the odds of those plastic seats malfunctioning and those brackets rusting out is probably higher than normal.
Yeah, I'm not good with metal, but I can work with wood, and I could actually put a nice big plank across there with a hole in the middle.
Yeah. Well,
but no, Kelly. If you don't mind taking a look and seeing.
Oh, I mind, but I'll do it.
I know that's Kelly's favorite thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Kelly's going to look at it. Stainless is hard to weld to, unless you're a stainless welder. But maybe a bracket could, just a couple of drill holes and a bracket could suffice. Yeah. All right. No, thanks for bringing that up. I had that on my list, but I we're going to get to that later. One of the other things before we get into the engineer, Chris Albert, I'm going to bring it up, and it has to deal with the buildings and grounds here in Idlewise. We've had, just be very frank, we've had some intrusions into the office during off hours, and we've also had intrusions into the garage. And what I'd like to do is also for visitors that come to the office is to think of a system where, as opposed to Donna opening the window and sticking her head out to see who's down below, we get a very inexpensive Ring or Nest doorbell system where she can actually see and talk to the person outside the office at the door from her cell phone application. We also, in this package that I'm thinking about putting in place, is also get an extra camera that would be located at the garage to see who comes in and comes out at the garage. Of course, all of this is recorded and saved for, I believe, 30 days. There is a package for these two devices, the doorbell. It's called See and Talk, as well as the camera. It's $428. It's all Wi-Fi based, so there's no wiring that's necessary. And I think it would at least, I know that when I come to the office, what I've been doing is, if it's on off hours, I will send a text to Donna letting her know that I've been here. Not only just that I've been here, but it relieves any suspicions if I've moved anything for her, and also for the COVID-19 that I've been in the office and touching things. So I'm going to make a motion that we appropriate up to $500 for the purchase of a door and garage, I'll call it office and garage security system, like Ring or Nest. They're very compatible with each other. So I guess I'll try and decide which one would be best for the use here at the Village District. But that motion I made is on the floor for up to $500.
Where is it coming from?
That would come from Building and Grounds.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, discussion.
So, Jay, I've been looking at those exact same things for myself, and one of the issues is the monthly service fee. So some of them have it, some don't. It depends on if you want recorded video. There's definitely some type of a monthly fee for them to host that. So just take that into consideration. So that could be another $10 or $15 a month, so $150 to $180 a year.
Right. And I did, I know I have a system which is 7 days is free of holding the videos. I believe it's Nest. If you pay $60, you get to hold all that for 1 year, all the recordings and pictures. I don't know about Ring. I think Ring, because I installed one for a neighbor here in Idlewise, they were paying $3 a month to hold those videos for 30 days. So it's not a lot of money. The biggest number I got was $60 for the year. So that's why I was saying up to $500. The 428. Go ahead, Dinah.
Just a question. There used to be video surveillance at the office. Is that totally inoperable now?
As far as I know, it's totally inoperable. And the surveillance would show you who came and went. The nice thing about the doorbell security camera and the ability to speak would be, because of the virus that we currently have, we'd have no physical contact between the office administrator and the person at the door. So, for example, we've been getting, correct me if I'm wrong, Donna, a lot of UPS or FedEx packages just dropped on the steps outside in the rain, and they don't even ring the doorbell. And that's their policy now because of the virus, the pandemic. So it would be nice if Donna was alerted on her phone saw the UPS guy driving away, and then went down to pull the box in before the rain dissolved it. I'm just thinking of the future with this virus. You know, everyone hopes that it goes away, but this may be the way of the future, unfortunately.
I think it makes a lot of sense. I think it's
it gives the
Bill, she's there alone. I think she should feel more secure.
I think
keeping the recording for 30 days is worth the little extra expense to do that because we have a record of it. We've had issues in the past before, and the police didn't have any evidence of what might have happened. So, I think this is a really good idea.
Okay, I appreciate it. Okay, so we have a motion on the table. It's been seconded by Paula. Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Yes. Okay, motion passes, and that will be coming out of Buildings and Grounds, Donna.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And I can install that, or it's very easy.
Okay.
Because there's 5 volts going down to the doorbell. That's all we need. Already. So
maybe before Chris comes in, we can approve the signature and the manifest there.
Yep.
To move the meeting along.
Yeah, I'm going
to
go right down to signature items. So we have a letter for 28 Burn Drive. There was debris left in the recently cleaned out ditches on Barden from the resident at 28 Burn. And we just wanted to ask them kindly and remind them that the district drainage needs to continue to operate and blocking.
Yep.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, there we go.
Yep.
There's one.
All right, going to read the letter real quickly. Recently, the Idlewise DPW crew improved the stormwater road drainage along both sides of Barden Place, which abuts your property on one side. Ditching was done as well as adding new gravel to the road surface. It was noticed that yard waste was deposited in the district's improved ditch, and that possibly restricted stormwater drainage and eventually damaged the road itself. If you are in the process of gathering yard waste and have placed the waste in the ditch, the district's ditch, could you kindly remove it so as not to restrict road drainage and possibly cause damage to the road surface itself? The recent landscaping on your property is very appealing, and we want to make sure that the roads are as well. Thank you for your consideration, Board of Commissioners. So do I have a motion that we go ahead and sign this out of session and send it to the residents at number 28 Burn Drive? I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Seconded by Kathy. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right. We have another signature item. This is going to the residents at number 116 Idlewise Drive that were abutters to the Thusis Culvert Project. Dear Kathy and Bruce, it was great to meet you a couple of weeks ago and discuss the idea of new drainage system for stormwater that runs underneath Idlewise Drive and your private property. The Board of Commissioners would like to inform you that the district's original plan to reroute the stream flow that passes underneath Idlewise Drive and continues through culverts underneath your property at 116 Idlewise Drive will be abandoned. The Board of Commissioners are in favor of just replacing the rotted metal culvert that passes underneath Idlewise Drive and connects into existing high-density polyethylene pipe on your property. This will keep the beach and associated vegetation intact and will require a minimal amount of disruption to the environment. Please let us know if you have any questions regarding this change of plans. Sincerely, the Board of Commissioners. I'll make a motion that we send this letter and sign out a session to the residents at 116 Idlewise Drive.
I'll second that.
Seconded. Any discussion?
Was there any time frame on when that's going to be completed?
I got to let the water dry up again before we can do it, so it's going to be weather dictated.
Okay. And I was wondering, with all, the construction traffic on Idlewise Drive, that's going to be a challenge to get that accomplished, I would think.
We'll be quick, and my plan is to just close one side of the road at a time.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll still have a passable road.
That was
any
my
other
only
further
question.
Discussion? Thank you, Kathy. Question. Paula, any discussion?
Yeah, the question, I had the same question. I want to be clear. We don't need permission, right? I just, we feel like, I guess the letter is clear. That this is for good, right? I mean, we say, do you have any?
Yeah, it, no, we don't meet. Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to be sure that the letter is clear that this is what we're doing, and this is when we're going to do it. Thanks. Let us know if you have any questions. I think it does say that. But I would add in when we plan to do it. And even if it just says, we'll be doing that before, you know, either this summer, later this summer or in the fall, when weather permits.
When weather permits. Okay.
I would just add that in because then it's clear that we've decided we're doing this. And thank you. And also, I mean, if Kathy, who met these people? I didn't meet them. Did somebody meet them?
The DPW did at one occasion, and I did at another occasion.
Okay. I don't know. It's just weird.
Actually, two other occasions.
I've never met these people.
Okay. No, they're very nice, but they're very concerned about the privacy.
I understand. The letters written, it sounds like I met with them, and we didn't all meet with them.
Yeah.
I met them.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right, we'll revise the letter per Paula's amendment. So now we have an amendment. We will be adding the sentence, we will install the new culvert, weather permitting. And
it will be done when weather permits. You make it sound like we may not ever do it if we say weather permitting. And we're going to do this. So it will be installed when the weather permits.
Okay, we will install when.
Right, that's all.
Okay.
Great.
All right.
So you make a motion to amend it?
Yeah, motion made to amend. Paula made the amendment. I'll second that. All in favor of the amendment? Say aye.
Aye.
Okay, now all in favor of the motion to send the letter amended? Please say aye.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm just going to hand this letter with the notes on it to Donna, and we can just add that after the meeting.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to reach out. Can you check your scoreboard and see if Chris Albert's on?
Not yet.
Okay. Just waiting for Chris at 10. So let's move on to one other.
That's Sean.
Yes. I sent a letter out. Apologize. I was trying to think of. I had a third letter I had to write this week. This one was to the tree guy who cleared the trees on Little Loop, not only for the warrant article project, but also the other larger trees. So I have a letter to Sean Edwards. Back in November 2019, you were contracted by the Village District of Idlewise to cut down marked trees between the properties at number 4 and 6, Little Shore Drive. I have it wrong. Thank you.
Little Loop
Drive, as well as other larger trees along Little Loop Road. I had it right there. Can you explain why all the trees and shrubs were cut down instead of just those that were marked between number 4 and number 6 Little Loop? Were you given direction by a resident to cut them all down? Your cooperation is greatly appreciated. This is in response to the request by Debbie Hewitt at number 6 Little Loop. Wanting to have trees replanted to create that visual buffer and not understanding why all the trees, even those that were unmarked, were taken down. We're just trying to find out why he did so.
Yeah. So, Jay, I would take that last sentence out, though. You know, let him answer the request without giving him an answer. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I agree.
So,
I had the same comment, Kathy.
Okay, were you given direction by the resident to cut them all down? We'll just take that out?
Please.
Yep. Okay, I'm going to scratch that out. Also have that typo in the Little Shore versus Little Loop Drive. Okay, so we have an amendment to the letter. I'll make a motion that we approve the amendment. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, and any discussion on the amendment?
No.
Okay, all in favor of the amended letter, say aye. Aye?
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. All right, perfect.
I should have made another amendment. I mean, guys like this are out cutting trees down and running their business. Are we expecting him to write us a letter? Like, should we tell him, ask him to call the office to let us know or something?
I'm sorry, Kathy.
I just want to make it easy for him to give us a simple answer to this question. That's all. So
would you accept a phone call, or would you rather have the answer in writing? I think in writing would be best, or an email. You want me to add the line, please answer by email, or
please write? Answer the office via email.
Yeah. Okay, and then we'll put the email in.
Yeah,
okay.
Why'd you do that? So he doesn't have to write you a letter. I mean, don't write letters anymore. So.
Okay, great. I'll just put in here another sentence. Please respond to the office via email, and then I'll put the email address. Oh, it is right up top. Yep, email above. Okay, perfect. And second on that amendment again. Any further do I have a second? Thank you. Any further discussion? Say. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Yes.
Aye. Okay.
Aye.
All right, great. And has Chris joined the meeting?
No.
Okay. Still don't have Chris yet. He must be running late.
Yeah.
And,
why don't we do the manifest, Jay, to get that taken care of?
Yeah. Okay. You want to do payroll first?
No.
Okay, we're going to grab payroll first, if that's okay. All right, I got for the week of 7/3/2020, Donna McKinnon for a total of 23 and a half hours. For the week of 7/10/2020, I have Donna McKinnon for 23.75 hours. For the week of 7/3/2020, Kelly Robitaille, we have for 42 hours.
But two of them are double time because of
it was on a holiday. Yep. And for the week of 7/10/2020, we have Kelly at 40 hours. Week of 7/3/2020, we have Jeff DiMartino, total of 40 hours. And for the week of 7/10/2020, we have Jeff at 40 hours again. And we had Tony Eldridge for the week of 7/10 at 24 hours, and he was unavailable the other week. Okay.
I'm going to initial this.
Are you approved? Just a second.
I'll make a motion to approve the payroll for $5,269.01. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. Okay.
Okay.
And now we're going to jump right into manifest.
Okay.
You want to read them off?
Yeah.
Okay.
The first check is to Donna Hugh Tucker and Sin Della for $1,049.91.
Okay.
The second one is to Easton Propane and Oil for diesel for the road, $365.70.
You know what we're paying per gallon for diesel?
$1.85.
Okay. Yeah.
The next one is for FW Webb for $38.02.
The next one is to the New Hampshire Retirement System for $1,349.24.
And does that check pretty much straighten us out?
Best to my knowledge, after back and forth, I think we're all caught up.
Okay. Great. Thank you. That was a lot of work.
Yeah. And then Verizon for the cell phones is $67.14.
Okay. So I have a motion to I'll make a motion to approve the manifest for $2,870.01. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
And any discussion on any of those checks going out?
This is Diana. Is the check to our, is that the village lawyer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, that's the district's lawyer. Good question. I was hoping someone would bring that up. So, yeah, on that line item, just from a budget standpoint, we are over, and we are aware of that. That was on Kathy's last report.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Jay, speaking of attorneys, has anybody reached out to Greg M. lately to make sure that we're on track for this loan, for the 869-4 loan? We haven't really heard much in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's right. I guess the market for those loans opens up in August. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. Do we know the actual date when those go on the market and are bidded on?
Who knows? It is in August. I don't know if it's early August, late August, but with this last payment or this next payment to Dawson's, we're pretty much exhausted our bridge loan. So just making sure that we're on schedule to get that municipal financing in August.
Right. What I'll do is I'll try and figure out when that date is. I'll go back to some of my emails. I believe there was an actual day when people get to bid on those bonds, and that's what they'll be doing. Yeah, I don't want to call Greg himself because we know that when we do that, we get charged. So I'm pretty sure the information is in our record somewhere, but I'll try to find that and relay that back to everybody so that we're prepared for when that happens so that we can have the trend.
Right, because, you know, God, what would happen if somehow we miss that, you know? We'd be in big trouble.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. It was just a thought to make sure that, you know, that there's – if there's nothing that they're waiting for from us and that we're, the package is all, the I's are dotted, T's are crossed, and we're ready to go.
Okay.
And I'm going to... Jay, I'll do that as a backup to you, too, because I have all the old email from computer, too, on the
yep.
email address. So I'll
yes.
also do search. I'll search for that as well. See if I can
That'd be great.
So that both
Thank
of
you.
Us are checking to make
yeah,
sure
I think
we
was right. I think it was right in the middle of May, like that second or third week of May, where the final contract for the permanent financing was approved.
Okay.
Right. Okay. I'm going to jump down real quick to...
Other letter and then the minutes.
Oh, yeah. No, this is... actually, this is important. So we had crafted a letter some time ago to go out to all of the current homeowners that are along Bristenstock and Aspen and Reinhardt, which may be impacted by the new water line that's going in. We were going to offer them the opportunity to have a new service line installed from the curb stop valve to their residence. And we had approved the letter quite a while ago, but we have never yet decided to send it out because we were given instruction that these lateral connections would be made to the new water main in the fall time frame. But I think we're now in the middle right about in the middle of the summer, that we should probably send this letter out to give the opportunity to the homeowners to look at their finances and make a decision whether they want to go ahead and have a new service line installed. So I think everybody, Paula, have you seen this letter that was initiated on July 15th?
Yeah, I read it when you sent it. When somebody sent it this week.
Okay.
But I have one comment. I know you guys pre-approved this, but I always think, like, the more direct you are, the better. And even the one sentence in here that concerns me is it says the VDOE will pass your request. The contractor will work with you. The transaction will be between you and the contractor. I could be confused by that and say, well, I don't know what that means, the transaction. Does that mean I'm paying for it or not? I think you need to say, this will be done at your expense. And the transaction will be between you and the guy. You know what I mean? Because the transaction could just mean that you're arranging the date with him. And it doesn't really clarify this letter that you're going to have to pay for it, which I'm assuming is what the case is, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I would have a letter. That's my recommendation. I didn't. Yeah, especially since I have to sign it. I'd like it amended.
So this is the second sentence of the third paragraph, and it starts with, the VDOE will pass your request along to the contractor who will be performing the connection of your service line to the new water main at the curb stop valve. The contractor will work with you to schedule the installation and connection of your new service line. The service line replacement will be a transaction performed between you and the contractor and will be inspected by the village district water operator for compliance to the installation requirements in the water system ordinance. So I think, that's a lot of words to basically say you can actually choose whatever contractor you want to install the new service line and you pay for it.
I wasn't going to suggest that contractor. I would just say at the end of that paragraph, I would just add a sentence that this transaction will be done at the homeowner's expense or your
okay.
Period. Just say that. I don't think we want different contractors when you're doing this work.
Right, because the timing will be completely confusing.
Right.
Because once our contractor's there, we know that he can get it done at the same time the curb stop valve goes in. So having another contractor involved would be a timing issue. You're right. So your suggestion, Paula, is to put in a sentence that the expense of this transaction will be borne by the property owner?
Yeah.
Or even say after the word, it says the transaction will be performed between you and the contractor at your expense, period.
Yep. Perfect.
Yeah.
Then say the district water operator will inspect for compliance. So
okay.
So after the contractor put at your expense, period, and start a new sentence.
Yeah.
I think
okay,
Paula might come in a glass. It is a very wordy letter, but
yeah. All right. I got it. And
okay.
I got it written down here on this original letter. So we'll have Donna amend this letter, and then I'll make a motion that we approve the amendment to the letter. Do I have a second for that amendment? I mean, that motion?
Well, second the motion.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor of approving the letter as amended, say aye. Aye?
Yes.
Okay, and we can sign that out of session. I'm going to give Donna some time to take these notes down.
Okay. Yes. I think we just got something from Greg M.
We did. I'm just printing that off. That's why I was thinking.
Yeah. She's doing two things at once, which is usually less than what she normally does, which is usually five things at once.
Okay.
So, Jay?
Yeah.
Jay. So one of the concerns we had, or not concerns, but one of the holdups we had previously about sending out this letter is we need the property addresses of the homes that will be affected with new curb stop valve. At first thought it was 19, and then maybe it's 20, maybe it's – so we have to nail that down soon.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have actually that list. because I basically drove the road and got the names and numbers for each of the homes. So I'll just forward that along to Donna and to the other board members, and then we can send that letter out once it's signed.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, I'm just going to I'm just going to read real quick this email that just came in from Greg. So, good morning, Donna. The bank bond sale results are attached.
Oh.
So they already had the sale. Note that the bond bank sold its bonds to investors and received bond premium, which it has applied to reduce your principal amount. That is, the district will receive $869,400 from the bond bank in exchange for a bond in the amount of $734,600. As a result, the interest. Go ahead, Kathy. Yeah. As a result, the interest rate on the bond, ranging from 2.1 to 5.1%, may seem high, but the true interest cost, which factors in the bond premium, is 1.3544%. Wow.
Okay.
If you have questions about this, let me know. So let me try to explain this to the folks listening. We have requested and approved as a warrant article a bond for $869,400 from the bond bank. The bond bank, in exchange for a bond in the amount of $734,600, that's what I'm not quite sure I understand this. I'll have to read this several times. But as a result, the interest rate on the bond, ranging from anywhere from 2.1 to 5.1%, may seem high, but the true interest rate is actually 1.3544. If you have any questions, please let me know. We will prepare bond documents for signatures to the district treasurer, a notary, and a majority of commissioners. I expect to have these to you by Monday. We will need the executed bond documents returned to us by July 28th to meet the bond bank schedule. I would also like to have a 30 or the 40-minute due diligence call next week with the persons at the district that will be responsible for handling the bond proceeds. Can you let me know who that is and suggest a time and date for that call? So, just trying to understand his language, and I'm not familiar with this, but it sounds like, and I believe Ralph's on the line, maybe he knows more about this, but it sounds like we are buying another bond for $734,600 at a higher interest rate, but that will suffice the need of $869,400. So the $734,600 at an interest rate ranging from 2.1 to 5.1 would still generate the $869,400 at an interest rate of 1.3544. So,
Paula, I just forwarded you and Dinah that information. You guys weren't copied on it.
So that's all I know right now. So we have to be aware of this. Good pickup, Kathy. We need to be aware of this for next week. And we need to have this returned to Greg by July the 28th. So we'd probably, will anybody want to make a motion to schedule any particular time next week for a 30 to 40 minute due diligence call with Greg?
I'm available any day or any time next week, so I'm good. So we can do it Tuesday. Well, Tuesday is hard for Donna, because that's usually a payroll day. Or you want to do it on a Wednesday?
No, not next week. Yeah, I did payroll today, so we're good for Tuesday.
You want to do Tuesday morning?
Yeah, on Monday.
I'm good Tuesday morning.
I'm good Tuesday morning.
Okay.
All right, Tuesday. So Tuesday morning, what time?
Be there.
Yeah,
9
what time?
O'clock?
Yep, 9 o'clock is fine. We'll reach out, see if 9 o'clock is available with Greg.
Does that have to be a motion, or is just...
There'll be a commissioner's meeting.
Should we make a backup in case he's not available, like Wednesday morning?
Yeah, so I could do Tuesday or Wednesday, 9 a.m., that's fine. How about you, Donna?
Yeah, I'm here.
Donna's here.
I'm good with you.
All right. So Tuesday or Wednesday at 9 a.m., if Greg's available for either one of those. Okay, and I'll make a motion for those two dates, and whichever one it becomes appropriate with Greg, we'll post that as a commissioner's meeting. Do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor, say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear Dinah available. Dinah available for this meeting? I'm sorry.
Yes, I am.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry.
I'll let you all know.
I believe it's your signature, Dinah, that's going to be the important one.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to pay for that. I still don't understand how we applied for $869,400 and we're only going to get $734,600. How's that work? I mean, maybe you don't know either, but that's a huge difference.
Yeah, and it doesn't. I don't know either, but it sounds like we're going to be selling a bond for $734,900 at a higher interest rate so that we can get the $869,400. That's my assumption, but again, maybe the phone call will clarify all that.
Sounds a little hinky to me.
Yeah. Sort of like if, I don't know. But yeah, yep. All right.
We'll find out next week.
Yep. Okay, and we have no Chris yet?
No Chris.
Okay. He must really be bogged down. So I want to jump to the water system, and I guess I'm happy to report that the leak at Aspen has been repaired.
Yep.
And the liens on those outstanding water users who have not paid anyone that's over $1,000. Kathy, I know you were going to look into the lien process.
Yep. So as soon as Donna's got some free time, we will sit down and do that together. So she said yesterday that she almost felt like she's getting caught up. So this is
I'm trying.
I know you are. I know.
Yeah.
And I'll reach out to Linda on. I looked this morning at getting the claims form, and of course it's 5 million websites. So I'll reach out to Linda Shackford to find out exactly what they do.
Okay. We're still waiting for some swing tie information for the curb stop valve from Ian. And Ian's been actually pretty busy in here. We've got a lot of scatter alarms lately. And
there's an issue with this skater that Ian was in here, but he wasn't getting notifications, so he was going to check it out and then get back to the office. But he has been working with, there was a number of alarms. I think it was Jungfrau and Shakori he was working at yesterday, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, and there was a low water level at Muddy Beach as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We also got an email correspondence from a resident at 12 Interlaken. And they were having some plumber do a work inside the house, and when they shut the water main off inside the house, they still heard running water, and then went to a crawl space underneath.
Ian's getting in touch with the homeowner.
Okay.
He knows about it, and he's...
Yeah, so we need to know about it as well, because what we usually do is we now start a clock. We had a resident that had a water leak in their property. Kelly, do you remember? It went for over a year. So they were just, it's like having a water leak in the street, but it just kept coming out and they didn't care. They didn't have the money to fix it. But the district was losing water constantly. So we usually try to take note and give 30 days for the person to rectify the problem.
Okay.
Because that now, that just, let me just jump real quick into, and Donna included it in the packet this week, the water usage report. And I did notice that it is up. There it is. This is just so everybody knows, we've got the comparison between last year and this year, and it seems like we're paying a little bit more in water, electricity, than we were last year for the past 3 months. Now, is that because so many people have come here to quarantine or isolate or just to get away from the city because of the pandemic? Possibly. And now that the restriction on rentals has been lifted, it seems like there's been a huge amount of activity as a result of that. But then also we had the leak over on Aspen Drive, which was considerable. And then possibly this leak underneath the home at number 12 Interlaken could also be contributing to this higher than average number. So just want to make everybody aware of it. That's how we look at these numbers. If it was significantly higher, we'd be asking Ian to look for a water main break. So, thank you. Okay, so that's it for the water system. I'm going to go right down to commissioner reports. I basically have already done mine with the camera option for the buildings as well as the camper on the Hutwell parking lot. Kathy, do you have anything for commissioner's reports? Kathy?
Let me unmute you. I had to unmute you, sorry.
Okay.
So, no, just that I followed up with Ian and Justin, and he should be here at the end of the month to start working on the Chicora pump house and finish up the last few things on Summit.
Yep.
Chris just came in.
Okay. And I'm just going to, I know Chris Albert just joined, but we're just going to jump to Paula real quick. Paula, do you have anything under commissioner's report?
Nope.
Okay, perfect.
I just want to thank Kathy and Donna for cleaning the outhouses. I think that was above and beyond call of duty and deserves a big thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, and a bar of soap.
I burnt my clothes.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So we got Chris Albert on the line. Chris, how you doing?
Good morning, sir. Good morning, Commission. Sorry to be late. I had a site walk over here in Mount Vernon, another water system wrapped up, so we're but I'm here. I did send, I don't know if Kelly had a chance to look at the proposal for the two culverts from Dawson, if he's here today.
Yeah, he's in the room. Yep.
Did you get
okay. So, you know, Jake, the one up at the corner of Aspen was pretty typical as far as the unit price. The one on Birkenstock and Thalens is a little high, but again, going over with Jake, with the dewatering and the head wall work and riprap wall work that he put on the bottom of the description is, well, I'm comfortable with that number. I don't know if Kelly's comfortable with it or if that's something you want to discuss some more or what your thoughts are, sir.
I didn't see a description of work to be performed. Was that in there?
Yeah.
It's on the second page is Dawson's actual estimate. So he's crediting you for the one on my Aspen, he's crediting you the 18 feet of pipe. His price is $80 a foot for that. I mean, the state numbers are 75, so I'm comfortable with the $80 a foot. The 36 is, so what we did is we did a drainage analysis, which I've included as a second attachment just to have for your file for backup. But we did a HydroCAD drainage analysis at the one at Salem, and it should be upgraded to a 36-inch pipe to cover, you know, the 100-year storm. The big thing that we're using is when we do drainage analysis now, we use the newer University of Cornwall drainage precipitation table. So everything has been increased for precipitation, as we know, with global climate change. So that should go to a 36-inch. But again, his price was a little high, but he's got the header work, riprap, dewatering, and erosion control. So there's a lot more involved with that culvert replacement because, again, that's always flowing. So I just wanted to bring that up. I'm comfortable with it if Kelly is. Again, that's, you know, and then, again, it's something where if the commission wants to sign that today, that's fine. We haven't run it through Rick Skorenka to see if it's DES eligible for the 295 grant portion of the 24% match, but I think we've got enough money out there for the overall project that we would exceed that anyway. So, and it's a smaller number of $11,000. If the commission wants to have it eligible, let me know, and I would forward that to Rick Skorenka for his blessing also.
Chris, let me just ask you. I just got the information, and I see the pipe, but I don't see what the header entails or the exit. Is there a header wall, or is it built in place, or what's the idea?
I could get more description if you want to hold off on signing that. If that, again, this is something I just got yesterday also and forwarding over to you guys. So, I mean, we can table this change order for more discussion next week with whatever questions you, Kelly, and the commission have, and we can get that ironed out a little bit better for everybody.
But let me ask you this just for conversation. The increase in diameter, I know that it's always suggested to go bigger. Bigger's better. Do you feel that that's critical? And I say this because in stock right now we have 40 feet of 24-inch pipe with a 24-inch concrete precast header wall that we own. And we've never had a water problem there. I know that doesn't mean it could never happen, but
yep.
The flow's always been adequate. I understand the flow can change, but do you feel it's critical to upgrade that pipe to a bigger size? Or you,
again,
is,
I just
is that a 100-year plan idea, or what would that be?
Yeah, let me. I only gave you the 100-year storm sheet in that second attachment. I can review that back, and I can get you what a 24-inch does. So what she's saying at a 100-year storm, if you look at, well, you don't need to really look at my HydroCAD analysis, but what she's saying that a 24-inch pipe at a 100-year storm is 100% full. So we don't, you know, we design without, you know, maxing out life. So we went up from the 24 to a 36, again, to give you some elbow room. So, yeah, so it does work at a 24-inch pipe for a 100-year storm, but it's at that maximum level. So I will never guarantee you at a 100-year storm that it wouldn't overtop the road. But, again, you know the history better than I do. If you look at the math, it's right at the edge of what it's good for.
Yeah, I'm guessing that the 100-year storm, I got bigger problems than that one. I don't think the water will even make it there before it washes out six before that, but I get that.
Yeah,
I understand that.
Yeah, I mean, you could go back to a 24-inch, and what I'll do is I'll revise this for a 24-inch and get more description on the head wall, and I can get that back to the you and the commission for review next week.
My other concern was that I was there when that pipe was exposed, and the water main was placed pretty much just under that
the old
pipe.
One. That's the old one.
Yeah.
That's going to be a beauty. Yep.
So if we updated to a bigger pipe, I don't know that the room's going to be there.
Yeah.
Just another concern I had. And for everyone listening, the price to do this, the change orders, for $11,708.
And that's with the discount? That's with the 18-foot discount?
No, that's
yeah, yeah, it's $3,200. It would have been $4,600. For the one on by Aspen, with a $1,400 credit, was $3,200 net for the Aspen one, which worked out to $80 a foot. The state numbers are 75, so that's right on money with the state DOT numbers for a 24-inch replacement. And I asked, and then the one he asked for the 36-inch at Salins was $200 a foot, well, $202.40. And again, if we go back that down to a 24-inch and then I'll get more of a description as far as what type of head wall, and I'll come back with that next week so we can bring this discussion back up next week.
So just to back up the pipe on Aspen Bristenstock
is a 1-to-1 replacement.
Yes. Is that a complete replacement, but they're only going to pay for half of it?
Yeah, they're going to credit you from what he damaged 18 feet, but he's going to replace the whole thing with a brand new 24-inch plastic pipe and get rid of the CMP.
So when you say credit, that means he's crediting most of the pipe, but not all of it.
Correct, yep.
Well, that's not a bad deal. I can handle that one, but I would love to use the pipe we have in this header wall if possible and get a new quote on what he's charged to do it. I think that'd save us a bunch of money.
Yep, I will be up there tomorrow about midday if we want to catch up and we can look at the pipe and figure out exactly how many linear feet, and I can revise the quote to include, you know, owner supply pipe, because he said the 36-inch pipe was almost $80 a foot to buy anyway. So anything we can do to cut down on product that you have would save, you know, would save the district that amount of money.
No, that's what I'm about. And just a heads up, I'm meeting with the paving company tomorrow at 8:00.
Okay, yeah. So I've got a meeting in Tuftonboro at 8:00, but I'll be up after that.
Yeah, I can fill you in. We know what we're talking about. I don't know if I know you. Dawson's talking about hand raking and applying the patch along the edge of the road. Is that a definite, or should I find out if that could be part of this?
Well, when he got a price from Brian Paving, he told them they wanted $400 a ton to do that hand work. So maybe he's going to give you, if you want to ask him what his price is per ton to do the hand work, but he kind of whacked it pretty heavy to Dawson just as a one-type job. But if he's going to look at both the hand work and the one-inch overlay, maybe it'll be a better price.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yep.
I'll go both ways.
Yep, yeah, no.
Now, you know, I got to talk to him, too, because, you know, if this becomes a reclaim project, then it changes everything.
Yeah, I mean, my only recommendation was to reclaim just that first, 75 feet or so going down Aspen. I don't think you need to do, you know, the second half going down to the bottom.
Right.
But just that first half, I think you would spend so much money on shim paving that you would go broke on that. I think it's better off to reclaim, bring in gravel to reshape the crown, and then do your overlay. But again, talk to Brian, see what they say. You know, you got a pretty good rut when you're going down Aspen, right on that left side that you and I looked at.
Right.
I mean, you're gonna probably spend 30 tons just to get a crown back. So.
Right, but we can shim, so we'll just have to figure out what the savings are.
Right. Yep. So. Yeah. See what look at their recommendation.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I can fill you in on that tomorrow.
Okay.
Chris,
I'll get you tomorrow. Yes, sir.
Chris, this is Jay real quick. I was looking at your calculations for the water flow on that side of the mountain, the 100-year flow. I'm looking at your numbers. Maybe if you could just educate me. So I'm looking at total area acres, 27.82. And you have a number of 77 under a column identified as CN. And then description, 2-acre lot at 12% impervious, I'm assuming that means. Our lots are usually half acre to 3/4 acre in size. Are you numbering the 2-acre lots by multiplying that by the number of 77 to get your total area?
The 77 is a coefficient number for the runoff the earth. Where did see the 2-acre?
Yeah, so it's under area listing, all nodes, and it says that there's 27.82 acres, the coefficient being 77. Description, 2-acre lots, 12%
I'm believing that the IMP stands for impervious. HSG is probably your soil type.
Yep, yeah.
Is it Herman soil type?
It's all wooded. Shallow concentrated flow, wooded.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know if the...
I think the 2 acre is just her description of what the area is being used for.
Okay, gotcha. I see what you're saying. Okay, got it. All right. Let Kelly, I guess, review some of those numbers and ideas, and we'll get back to you next week on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I found the 2 acre lot. I think that's just a description of where it says description up above.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's just telling you what the land use is being used for.
Right.
House lot as opposed to an airport, as opposed to, a parking lot. The 77 is the key number. That's a number that we use. It's a wooded lot at that steep a slope.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. All right. Thank you. What else you got for us as far as progress?
Well, just a quick update. So I'll be up there tomorrow. They did lose a bunch of days with the freakish storms that we've had.
Yeah.
I'll check with Jake. They were almost up to the well house. They should be there by yesterday or today. Again, I don't know how much rain put, the last couple of days of not working. But they were getting pretty close with the 4-inch line into the well house. They're still, DN Tanks is still prepared to do the flat work next Tuesday. So I'm going to be up there tomorrow to confirm what things look like, and then I'll be up Tuesday morning for the flat work pour. I think today, depending on what the rain is today or tomorrow, they were going to actually start pouring the wall panels. So you saw, you were up there, you saw the little pie seat pieces.
Right.
So they pour the roof as a pie. It's pretty neat, and they get when they have all the wall panels poured and then the pipe pieces poured, they have the crane set up, and it's just a pretty neat little erector set.
Yeah.
It's probably something where I'll make sure when they do have the crane, we want to make sure everybody has hard hats, but it's a pretty interesting process that they have putting that all together.
Right.
And it'll be pretty neat if the commission or Kelly, you guys want to come out. We try to, minimize people at a distance, of course, because, again, it is a crane picking wall panels. If everything moves forward, probably not the end of next week, or maybe, probably the beginning of the following week after next week, they should be starting to go erect wall panels.
Yep, great. All right. Yeah, it'd be nice if... all the commissioners and the DPW could get up there and just to see the progress and how it's going to look when it's done. I know that Donna's really itching to get up there on Tuesday when you pour the base slab. She wants to scratch her.
I'm going to push a few people in.
Yeah, she wants to scratch.
Get a base of people in it? Yeah.
She also wants to scratch her initials into the concrete before it hardens up.
I'll have to ask Corey from DN where you guys can do that, but yeah. they do a finish with the whirly birds there and get some nice flat work. So the biggest thing is you want it really smooth. We don't want crevices too much because again that adds to any type of bacteria to hide out in. So maybe we can do something on the outside or something.
Right, right. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, we never really talked about a plaque. That's something we could talk about if when this is all done. If you guys need want to put a plaque up for the commission, usually on my bigger projects, we actually have a small little, 1 foot by 2 foot little brass plaque with the date and the commissioners and... the contractor.
Bad idea.
We don't have the money for it.
I don't think they give it away for free, so, yeah.
Yeah. Plaques are probably something we're going to discuss later on in the year, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, all right. That all you got?
Yeah, Justin, I did give you the corrected pay requisition number 2 with the notarized signature from Dawson.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah. Yeah, we've already we already made that motion last week to go ahead and sign this.
Yep.
So we're all set on that. We'll just sign that. Actually, is it just me?
Yes, you just have to sign it on. You have
right
to
here?
Sign it. Yeah.
Okay. Signing it as I speak.
So Jay.
Yep.
Jay.
Yep.
So,
I can work with.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Okay. Now, that looks like just a pay requisition. That's not a reimbursement form for the grant fund, correct?
That is correct. I talked to Donner about that last week. Yeah.
Because DES is in the audit right now, so August 15th anyway. But what we need to do is, now I need to do is start taking the SW coal bills and all that stuff. And, you know, we'll add that to this next second disbursement, you know, Jones and Beach bills, SW coal, the archaeologist. Yeah, you know, here's $1,400 cost or whatever change it was. We'll put that all together in the next disbursement to capture as much of that, you know, 24%, $295,000 that we can at this point.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'll work with Donna on that.
All right.
Okay.
This is Dinah. I have a question. Is there a retainage amount for this payment?
Yes.
Yeah, I can work with you on that. What I probably do is, I don't have her. Should I have her, Donna's email, or is it just if I give it to you, Donna, you can forward it to her? So the way it's a state contract. It's typical for every job. What we hold is we hold 10% so the contractor reaches 50% of the job. Then after that, we don't take any more retainage. So when you're 100% complete, now we're holding 5%.
Right.
So there's a certain point of once we reach that 10% retainage holding, we don't do any more. Everything goes back to the contractor. When the project reaches substantial completion, we're at 5%. And at that point, then we do punch list, retainage, any other items like that. And we do a 1-year warranty in which we hold 2%. So when the project's all said and done, whatever month this summer, we have a 1-year warranty from both DN Tanks and Dawson for a year from substantial completion, at which time we hold 2% for that 1 year.
So this requisition says that we are going to pay Dawson $146,000 and change. So are we going to take 10% out of that and put it in retainage?
Yep. No, I'm going to do the math for you, and I'll shoot you an email that, because I think, what did you give them? You gave them like two, I forget what you gave, you physically gave them on the last one, and how much are you holding on?
Yeah, $230,000 roughly.
Okay.
So we're not at halfway yet, right? We're not halfway?
So, yeah, I think this pay rec really puts us to halfway. So now it's just a matter of doing that kind of fuzzy math of the 10% and what the difference is of what you're holding, and you're not going to give them, you may be giving them, say, 3%. It's whatever that math is, so they reach 10% of the project cost.
So is this all dictated by the state rules?
Yep. Yeah, it's in the contract. I can send you the pages under the general conditions that talk about retainage. And again, this is the same contract you had last year when you were doing the Du Bois King project. It's the same contracts I've been doing for the last 30 years for the state on how we hold retainage and payments. And it's good. So that way it's a standard document that the attorneys are all used to. So again, that's why, you know, we don't really worry about attorneys reviewing it, because it's not to say boilerplate is bad or good, but it's been tested through time, so that way we don't want to change the watch, so to speak, and recreate something different, which a contractor or a bonding agency could challenge. They know this is the standard contract that's out there.
Okay, if you could send Donna the pages of that information to the office, that would be great.
Yep. Yeah, what I'll do is I can just block out because the general conditions are like 70 pages. I'll just block out the two or three pages that are pertinent for you.
Perfect. Okay, this would put us, half the project cost would be $335,888.25. We've paid them $230,003.55, and this payment that's due is $146,558.73, which is $376,562.28. So we are at the halfway with this billing.
Yep. So it might be, you know, like I said, you and I will work on the math with you and where we're at.
Thanks, Chris.
You may be holding the full 10%. It may work out to 8%. It's whatever that 50% of the job is. Like I said, I'm unfortunately sitting in my car right now. But
yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Maybe
you can figure that
Tuesday,
out, Donna.
Chris, because I won't be in the village tomorrow. We can work something out.
Well, yeah. Again, this isn't something where the check's getting cut tomorrow either. So.
Oh, okay. Whatever you're available then.
Right. And okay. I'm just curious that when we did do the groundwater trust, that money did come in okay.
We received the disbursement.
Yep, you get the disbursement check, yep.
Okay, good. No, I just like to always make sure that the electronic filing is working correct for the client, that's all.
No, the electronic, because of the form that was first sent to us was the incorrect form.
Right.
We had trouble getting the correct form from them, plus our bank's accounts, we changed it from our operating budget to the water project account. So I just heard for them, it was either Monday or Tuesday, Dinah, when I told you that I heard from the state and gave them, they had all the correct information now.
Good. Okay.
All right. Chris, anything else?
No, like I said, I'll be up there tomorrow, Kelly. I'll make sure I can touch base with you.
Okay, that'll be great. All right, thanks, Chris.
All right, thank you. I'll have a beautiful weekend.
You too.
Stay cool.
Thank you. Yep, bye now.
Bye-bye.
You
might want to...
Yeah, I just want to jump back. We have a set of minutes that Donna has put forth for last week, the July 9th minutes. I just noticed one correction under Section 3, the Highway Department report. The sentence three lines down started with J. Buckley states the office received, and then
okay.
It's just the letter T.
Okay.
The letter from Mr. Taylor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
So I'll make an amendment to that section on page one of those minutes, the Highway Department report, to include the word, the letter from Mr. Taylor. Has anybody else had a chance to review those minutes?
I reviewed them, and I just have an overall comment. This is the first minutes I've reviewed now as a commissioner, and I know there's been a lot of discussion about minutes. I don't want to spend time debating this for minutes and minutes, but there's a lot of detail in here that I personally don't feel needs to be in here, because I think what it does is it begs the question when there's not a detail in here. So, for example, specific comments that I made about, where was it? I can't remember where it was. Oh, it was about, I think it was about the damage to the ladder or something like that, or fire. So, like, it had something specific I said, but then I said something else really specific that I thought more important. And I, you know, I think it'd be better just to say there was a discussion about fireworks, period. But, like, to put all these comments in that everybody made, you're begging the question, why didn't you put another comment? So, I'm trying to save Donna some work here and to just simplify these things. They need to capture that there was a discussion. They don't need to capture all these specific comments. And
yeah.
I would hope it would be less work. It would then require less discussion about what's in the minute. So
I agree with Paula. Yeah, I think I brought that up before too. That you know, we're compared to what Madison does, we put in way too much rhetoric.
So I'm fine with what you sent out with Jay's amendment. Otherwise.
Okay.
Thank you for the input. I appreciate that, Paula.
Anybody else have any changes or concerns?
No.
Okay. Motion's been made and amended. The minutes. Do I have a second on the amendment?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Okay. Minutes are approved with amendment. I'm going to jump down, and we're going to go over the correspondence real quick, hopefully. We got a letter from Terry Cancelleric. Apparently, she has I'll describe it as a nuisance neighbor. She's asking the commissioners to establish restrictions and or talk to the neighbor across the street who runs a rental property. And she had a quite lengthy letter with quite a bit of description and concern about what happened over the 4th of July weekend. And my personal feeling is that is more or less there was noise, there was trespass, and the noise and the trespass would be handled by the police. And to be honest with you, in the town of Madison, there is no noise ordinance. As far as her suggested restrictions on rental properties, whether it be a live-in landlord, that type of thing, that would probably fall under zoning, which again is Madison, not Edelweiss. Mm-hmm. So I'm just pointing these things out. But how does Paula and Kathy feel about her letter or concerns? Is there anything you feel we can do at this point?
Jay, this is Kathy. So yeah, my first thought was that when Edelweiss was incorporated as a village district, it was really for the maintenance of the road and management of the water system. Anything that has to do with properties and descriptions and zoning and allowable activities, that really falls to Madison. And
right.
Conway's tried to restrict usage of properties to owner-occupied for short-term rentals, and you're going to be into a five-year battle costing hundreds of thousands of dollars. So good luck, you know.
Yeah.
And again, and I don't think the village district even has the authority to do that.
No, we don't under the guideline, not the guidelines, under the allowance of what village districts can be created for, we actually can have our own planning board. And at the initial onset of Edelweiss, we actually did have a planning board, but that was released and given to the authority of Madison to handle that. But yeah, so they actually have the authority control over rentals if they so decide to do something about it.
Yeah. Now, even the guy that called Donner and said he wanted to have chickens on his property, that goes to Madison.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yep.
Yeah, so we understand her concern, and I guess just putting pressure on the property owner is what she can do.
Okay, so how do we reply back to Terry, or do we believe there's a need for, I believe there's a need for reply because she's asking us, you know, if we could do those certain suggestions that she presented. Do you want me to try to put together a response to her letter, and then we could discuss it next week?
Yeah, I mean, make it very brief. You don't have to elaborate on every point, just that, you know, the village district isn't responsible for property use. And she has to, you know, connect with Madison and the Madison police.
Okay, will do.
Yeah, the other thing I would suggest that she go to the, if she's not happy with the Madison police response, she should go to the Madison selectmen. Like write a letter to them, because you know one comment, and this is I'm making more as a citizen than as a commissioner. I had a conversation with one of the police officers last week about several of these issues pertaining to my property and a complaint that I made. And one of the things he said to me was, well, you know, the thing with the fireworks is that if we issue a summons to somebody out of state, they don't show up, then it's more paperwork, and that's just more work for us. Like your job is to enforce the laws, so. you know, I get the feeling they don't like to issue tickets because, one, they don't want to be the bad guy, and two, it's work for them. It's more work for them if they have to follow up out of state. So if people are not happy with what the police are doing, they need to go to the selectmen, who I would assume manage the police ultimately, right? That the is under mm-hmm. the purview of Madison selectmen. But because I don't understand why the police showed up four times at those people's house and didn't issue a summons. So, I don't know. I would put that in the letter. Their other reports would be go to the Madison selectmen, not to come to Adel. No, that we don't have not our area, so that they could take that up in that. So.
Okay, and we're back, guys. We got terminated after 2 hours. Sorry about that.
Sorry, yeah. That was just my thought on it.
Okay, I'll add that
know.
In the letter.
I would have. I guess you've answered about the, you know, what we can. Like, can we create our own other, what else to do with the ordinances in the future? Like, say we wanted to create a different ordinance about, but I had a question, like, can we create an ordinance where if people get visited by the police, do set off fireworks, that we can sign, are we allowed to do that?
You're breaking up on
it. I'm trying to ask if, like, that's my, what else are we allowed to do?
Yeah. So we are able to create a special zoning for the Idlewild district within the Madison zoning plan. So we can do things within the Madison zoning that only affect Idlewild. You are correct.
Okay.
Idlewild is described as a district within the town of Madison, which has its own specific zoning, if you decide to add to that.
Okay.
How can we do that without a zoning board?
Yeah, my point exactly, Dinah.
Okay.
It's simple. It's a warrant. It has to be a warrant article presented to the voters of Madison, who also are Idlewild residents. And they vote on the warrant article, which would be an addition to zoning, and it'd be a ballot vote. In other words, it'd be typed out. You either vote yes or no. There's no discussion at the deliberative session.
Okay.
So if you look at Madison zoning, you'll find an area in there specific to Idlewild only, and we have specific zoning that only applies to Idlewild. And those were approved by the Madison voters to be set forth for Idlewild.
So you're going to put that. Oh, sorry.
No, somebody wrote a letter and had that paragraph from the Madison zoning in her letter to us.
Well, recently, or?
What was that, Kathy?
So didn't a property owner send a letter and it had the Madison zoning ordinance as it pertained to Idlewild, and it said something about churches and commercial businesses and explained the appropriate uses.
Oh.
Yes, for considering a rental property as commercial.
Yeah. But she cited the Madison paragraph that addressed Idlewild.
Right, and to be honest with you, there's no commercial. Actually, most of Madison, about 90% of Madison, is called rural residential.
Yeah.
Idlewild pretty much falls under that same thing, but it's its own district. And yeah, you can't have commercial unless you have a commercial zone. But renting a home is not considered a commercial entity.
Right. Let me just see if I can find that letter. Chat, confidential.
Mona,
what was her name?
Mona.
Right here, Monica. It was Monica.
Yeah,
Monica, yep.
Yeah.
Oh, she was a voicemail or something?
Yeah.
Nope. somehow, it says 4.6 Madison zoning. So it's paragraph 4.6, Idlewild residential district. Permitted uses, it shall be primarily a district of single-family residences and accessory buildings. One dwelling unit shall be the maximum allowable on any one lot and in any one building. Other permitted uses include home occupations, churches, public buildings, period. Businesses, commercial enterprises, and agricultural uses are prohibited. So that's how they're defining Idlewild from a zoning standpoint.
Right.
So is chickens, are chickens an agricultural use? If somebody wanted to have a dozen chickens on their property?
They're going to sell eggs.
Yeah. If they're going to sell them, yeah.
You know,
if you got raising on your own, that's a different story.
All right. So I'll try to put something together for Terry for next week. We can decide on it in our next meeting. So Mark Raffam has offered, first of all, a couple of things. Mark Raffam has offered to repair the picnic table at the summit. So that's going to be taken care of by the EPOA. He also noticed some vandalism of spray paint down at the bench at the playground. And to be honest with you, I don't know what it says in spray paint, but it's also fading very fast. And I think the weather the rest of the summer will pretty much wipe that paint away.
And it wasn't anything bad. It said yup, Y-U-P or something like that. So it wasn't anything offensive.
Yeah. Also, Mark had provided some response to the audio files that he has received and is giving a suggestion that we put them up on a Google Cloud link. And I guess my question would be, obviously this will be convenient for him, but I don't know how convenient it would be for Donna.
I'd have to be shown.
Yeah, again, it's something that we're currently not capable of doing right now, so I'd rather hold off on that and give it to Mark the way that we just did through Thumb Drive until we can get additional support here in the office.
I forwarded it the audio from last week's panel.
Okay, yep. Appreciate that. Thank you. We got another email I did in the office as well as the files, the MS-30, 535, 636. Again, it's an automated report. We're trying to get a hold of Michelle Clark to see if this is real or if it's just a repeat robocall type of thing that comes to us. And then we also got an email from Sally Cassie about the sinkhole that opened up on Aspen over the weekend with the heavy rain because the culvert was damaged and allowed the erosion of the undermining of the road. That was noted by Dawson that they created the damage and they will replace 18 feet of that culvert because of that unfortunate situation.
Chris Albert did send her a direct response.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that was good. That's all I have for correspondence. We're running a little bit late. Does anybody else have any? Kathy or Paula, do you have anything else you'd like to bring up for this meeting?
Nope, not me.
Okay. Does anybody in the public have anything for public comment? Okay, hearing none, I will make a motion to adjourn. But before I adjourn the meeting, I want to make a motion to go into non-public session at 11:08. Yeah, 11:08 on my watch. Do I have a second to go to non-public? Or we'll have a roll call. I say yay.
I'll second yay.
Okay.
And yay.
Okay. Okay, we're going to go into non-public, folks. So for Kathy and Paula, if you could just dial back into the office phone, we'll pick you up.
we'll continue the non-public and then come out of non-public, back into public session to adjourn the meeting and either seal or unseal the minutes. And we're going into non-public, by the way, for the reason of RSA 91A colon 3, section 2G, and this is legal advice and legal counsel. Okay. So thank you very much, everybody, for joining, and hopefully catch you next week. Take care.